All right. Good morning, Heather. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Lena.
That's great. Okay, so we talk about today about how people have this beautiful New Year's intentions to change and why this slowly fades away quickly. And you're going to talk about why that is and how the mind works and how we can make long-lasting changes to our lives, to the intentions we want to fulfill. So, yeah, great. I'm excited.
All right, well, firstly, thank you for inviting me. I'm not intending to tell you everything about how the mind works, but I thought at the beginning of the year, people often think this is the year I'm going to get fit. This is the year I'm going to really make it in my business. I'm going to change a job, get a promotion, whatever they want. But you know, it's only the last roughly 3 years since I started studying Bob Proctor's material that I learned how my mind works. Now, I've been through school, I've been to teachers' college, been to university, I've been a teacher, and nobody ever explained to me how my mind works or anyone's mind works. And I know that if I had had that knowledge, I would have been able to help students who were struggling or needed extra help. I would have been able to zone in on the area that really was holding them up, which is their beliefs about their ability to read or write or spell, or I was an English teacher. And it absolutely astounds me that's taken me most of my life to get this very basic information. And I realize that all the study I have done is really been about gathering information. But the only time we really learn is when we take that information, we act on it, and our results change. So it's not all the cramming the information into your brain and then sitting down and writing an essay or doing an exam. And if you get X percentage right, you know it. Well, you don't know it because you haven't experienced it. You know it on an intellectual level. You don't know it on an experiential level. And that's why New Year's resolutions don't work if the person thinks, say, for example, take a really popular one. A lot of people say, oh, I've really got to get healthy this year, right? They know the benefits of exercise. They know how much exercise they should be doing. But they're not doing it. There's a difference between what you know intellectually, because you've heard it from the media, or you've read it, or someone said it, or you've looked in a bookshop and seen all the books about diets. But that just buying the book does not mean that you're going to open it up, read it, and then act on the information. Now, the reason that the information just stays in our thinking mind is because that's what we've been taught to do. From little children, we've been taught that you do what you're told. You listen to your parents and you do what you're told. And if you don't do what you're told, you get in trouble. So we have in our emotional mind or our feeling mind a whole collection of habits. And in that part of our mind also we have our self-image. Now I'm going to stop here and suggest that while I'm talking about your mind, you think about, because we don't have an image to work with. We don't know what the mind looks like. So a doctor back in 1934 in the States, he was interested in holistic health, and he devised a diagram of the mind called the stick person. So what I want you to do is think about your head as your mind and draw an imaginary line from ear to ear. Everything from your nose up is your thinking or your intellectual mind, and everything below your nose is your feeling, emotional, subconscious mind. So, in that bottom part of your face, you have a whole collection of habits. The language you speak, the food you like, how you walk, how you talk. Everything. Now, it's not all bad because if we didn't have this collection of habits, we'd have to start every day and learn to walk and talk, which obviously wouldn't be practical. But there are a lot of habits in our mind which collectively form what's called a paradigm or an operating system for our lives that really aren't very helpful. So they're the ones we want to change. Now, so let's go back to our example of a person who wants to make 2022 the year they get fit. The first thing they need to understand is where they are right now. Okay, so what habits and beliefs do they have in their mind about, firstly, do they believe that they can get fit this year and lose weight and have a bikini body or whatever it is they want? What habits do they have? Are they a person who likes to exercise, or they dread exercise and don't want to do it? What's their diet like? So where are you now? Where's your starting point? Because you need to know your starting point, and you need to know that your feeling mind, its job is to keep you safe. And it thinks the way to keep you safe is to keep you doing what you have always done, because that's what you're comfortable with. You might not like it, but you're comfortable. All right, so you sit down and you write down, okay, this year I am getting fit. So you've got this idea in your conscious mind. Well, if it stays just in your intellectual mind, nothing will change because that's not the part of your mind that runs the show. It's the feeling, emotional mind, that part below your nose on your face is, and that diagram or that idea is just for illustration. Your mind is in every cell in your body, not just in your head, but it gives people an idea. So if the idea isn't in your subconscious mind, you're not going to do any of the things that are going to help you reach your goal. So yeah, it's great to have a goal. So my goal is, for example, to lose 10 kilos. Right, that's great. But you have to get that idea into your feeling mind. Now, people have heard of the law of attraction, and the law of attraction is working regardless of you knowing about it and actually using it. It's just a universal law. It's like the law of gravity. It always happens. So, but underneath, or more importantly, is the law of vibration. And the law of vibration, which is one of the universal laws, says that everything is constantly vibrating. And that's the vibration which is what attracts things that are on the same frequency into your life. So when you get that idea into your feeling mind, you are going to attract into your life the people, the resources that you need to help you achieve that goal. The subconscious mind also, or the feeling mind, also gets your body moving. So when you've got that idea in your feeling mind and you're excited about it, then you are going to almost have to restrain yourself not to go for a walk. You don't have to push yourself. Your body wants to do it. And I've experienced this for myself. It's not a matter of, oh, I've really got to go for an hour's walk because I've got to do this. You know, you're not white knuckling it. You're not forcing it when you really don't want to. It just happens. It just flows. So how do you get that idea of losing the 10 kilos, for example? How do you get that into your subconscious mind? Well, when you think back to when you're a child, you didn't have any reasoning ability up to about when you're about, say, 7. So everything that is in your mind went in there through constant repetition. So, for example, you weren't just told once that your name is Lena. You heard that over and over and over again. That's how you learned your name. That's how you learned your first language. It just goes in automatically. So say by the time you've got to 50, for argument's sake, you've been operating with those habits, thinking habits and behavior patterns for a long time, for 50 years of your life. Now you want to overwrite that program with a new one. So once again, you have to use lots of repetition. The only other way to change your beliefs and your thinking habits and behavior habits is if you have like a major shock, like a natural disaster, or a near plane crash or something like that. And sometimes that is enough of a shock to make people reevaluate their lives and change the way they've lived their lives. And you've probably heard of people that have made major changes to their life because they had a health scare, or something really major came in their life. But that's not very often. Most of us have to do it through repetition. So that repetition can be spoken in the form of spoken affirmations. So affirming, say like, you're saying to yourself, what is the case? I am so happy and grateful now that I am whatever your target weight is. I am so happy and grateful now that I am 65 kilos. I am so happy and grateful. And you say that, but you've got to say it with feeling. If you just recite it, it's not going to have the effect. But what will it feel like to live in that lighter body? Well, it'll be easier to move, and my clothes will look great, and I can buy whatever clothes I want in the shops. And so what you're doing is you're telling your mind how it is. Now, the interesting thing about your feeling mind is it cannot tell the difference between what you imagine and what is real. So it cannot tell the difference between you stating you are 65, but when you get on the kilo, on the scales, you are 75 kilos. It can't tell the difference. So it will accept that idea, can't reject that idea, and it will act on it. So when you believe at that feeling level that you are already that target weight, then you will find that you want to go for a walk, or you're sitting on the couch, and think, oh, what am I sitting here for? I'll go for a walk, or I'll walk somewhere instead of catching the bus. I'll share you an example of what happened with me. I decided, I got a picture in my mind of how I want my body to look and feel. And I did this, I wrote it, I said my affirmation. And then I just became aware one day that I had dramatically slowed down the pace at which I eat. I had always gobbled my food down. And looking back, I think that was probably an anxiety thing. yes, I could see that picture. Now, my partner has always been a slow eater, and I found that I was finishing after him. And I noticed that I was taking smaller bites. It was just amazing. But I had not consciously thought, now, one thing I need to do is slow down the rate at which I'm eating. I didn't honestly have that thought. Now, the way I can lose this weight is by slowing down my eating. No, my mind did that completely automatically, because it got the message that I am at that weight, and a person at that weight would eat slowly. So that's what I do. It was absolutely, it just amazed me how my mind had done that. That was the only explanation, because as I said, I hadn't consciously set out to do that. Now, compare that to years ago when I was in my teens and I decided I wanted to lose weight. I did it the hard way. I must have been so hard to live with, because I became obsessive about what I ate. And if I ate something that I thought I shouldn't have eaten, then I would, you know, not punish myself, but I would, you know, say, oh, shouldn't have eaten that. And now I've, you know, whatever, you know, run off and weigh myself on the scales or something. And I did it the hard way. I didn't need to do it that way. It's, you know, you'll find that once your mind's got this idea, you know, resources that were always there but you didn't know about come to your attention. You meet someone who is a personal trainer, or as I said, you see a book, a recipe book or something. So you buy that, you take it home, you read it and actually make one of the recipes. It's just amazing how it happens. So if anyone's got a lifestyle goal like that, they want to lose weight, they want to get fitter, they first need to understand change is an inside job. It starts with the way you think, right? Now, what we, and including me, grew up thinking was thinking wasn't thinking at all, because we weren't using our intellectual factors, but we'll talk about that another day. We were just thinking that it was, you know, you read the book, you answer the questions and you know it type thing. So I get really excited about sharing this with people, because I know it works, and I do it myself. I've seen how it works in myself. It will work for anything, whether your goal is you want to increase your income, you want to find a romantic partner, whatever. So was there any questions you'd like to ask me? Because I've been talking at you.
No, it's great. I think it's a good flow to not break the flow of what you're saying, because I think it's really it's so interesting, specifically on imagining that, like that it's not your thoughts, that it's your feelings, and that you have to
Feelings, sorry, I
change that.
interrupted.
Yeah, go for it.
Feelings originate from thoughts. So if a person's not feeling good or they're feeling low, what am I thinking? Am I thinking negatively or positively? I work with a guy who is in the habit of worrying about everything. It's a habit, and he will say to me at the beginning of the session, he'll walk in and he'll say, I'm a bit worried, Heather. And the first thing I'll say is, stop saying that. If you keep telling yourself that you're worried or you're a worrier, you will keep on doing it because your feeling mind, it cannot reject anything you give it. So the more and more you reinforce the idea through repetition that I am a worrier, you're going to keep on worrying because what you focus on gets bigger. So if somebody's got, say somebody's got a sore knee, and they start focusing on their sore knee, and they worry about it, and they might put some ice on it or whatever they think is the treatment, and they stop walking because, oh, I don't want to hurt my knee. Well, the more you focus and think about that sore knee, that's all you're going to experience is more pain in your knee because your body is a reflection of what you're thinking about. So if you're thinking about pain, you're going to experience more pain. If you're thinking
So how
negative
do you
thoughts,
change that right away then?
right, the worst thing to do is say, if someone says, don't think about pink elephants, well, that's the only thing you can think about. So you've got to think about the exact opposite. So instead of thinking about your sore knee, think about something completely different. Pick up a book, listen to your favorite music to raise your vibration. And when you raise your vibration, you'll feel better and you'll forget about your sore knee. But you can also say something like, my knee is fine. Right? Say the opposite. Okay?
But what if
Because
someone, like, let's say someone has really an injury there and you can't ignore it because you can't walk anymore, what would you suggest then?
well, we can't, I mean, there've been amazing stories of people who have healed themselves. There's an amazing book called The Power of the Subconscious Mind by Dr. Joseph Murphy, and he has a whole chapter on dealing with health. And I think he had, in that chapter, he talked about some injury that he had. And several times a day, he would stop whatever else he was doing and spend time on thinking about that part of the body healing, that injury healing. Now, I'm not saying don't get any medical attention, but your mind can assist by, you can heal your body by sending it positive thoughts. Our minds are so powerful. Our
But how
minds
do
are.
you, so how do you, so there's obviously the brain, right? Then there is this intellectual part. Then you're talking about the mind, then feeling, then there's soul. How,
All right. So.
what is what would fit together? Where, for example, could I feel? How do I know that I feel the new feeling that gets me towards what I want to achieve, if you know what I mean.
Well, you'll feel good when you're thinking about what you want. You will feel good. But the thing is to break the distinction or make the distinction between your brain and your mind. Now, your brain is part of your body, just like your little finger and your nose. And then you have your mind. Now, your mind isn't a thing, and your mind is different from your brain. Your mind is energy, it's movement. Your mind uses your brain. All right? So your brain is part of your body. So your mind uses your brain to coordinate your activities, can coordinate your muscles to move in a certain way to get you doing whatever activity or playing sport or whatever. So the reason we get confused is we don't have that diagram. And if you like, I could do another session and I could show you that diagram and show you, because our mind's thinking pictures and we don't have a picture for the mind. Well, we didn't for a long time. And a lot of people, including me, didn't know that there was this diagram of the mind that this doctor developed way back in the 1930s. So your mind has these two distinctive parts, the conscious mind or the thinking intellectual mind. That's the part that formal education works on. Then you've got this other, the subconscious, meaning under the conscious level. So we're not necessarily aware of all the habits that have been programmed into us as a child, unless we look at our results. Results will tell you what you think. Your bank account balance is a reflection of how you think about money. Your body is a reflection of how you think about it. The food you give it, the exercise you give it, all the internal processes, they all originate from thought. And our subconscious mind is actually the part of us that is connected to the universe. It's the universal part of us. So we can tap into the knowledge of the whole universe. We're not limited to what we have as an individual. But you see, we've never been taught this. And this is why 3 years ago I was, oh my goodness, how is it that I got all through school and my formal education and I never understood this? But now that I do have this understanding, it has completely changed the way I approach anything. Setting up a business, I had to change my self-image. I've always thought about myself as an educator. I've never thought about myself as a businesswoman. And that's why when I went into things like multi-level marketing and things, I wasn't successful, because I didn't have the business person's mindset. I didn't see myself first and foremost as a business person. So I'm working on that, seeing myself as a business person. Every day I write down my goal. Every day I express gratitude for the opportunities like this that I have to come and educate people, but also build a business around sharing this information. So because I'm starting to see myself as a businesswoman, it's changing the things I do. Oh, how would I put it? Oh, well, for example, I decided that I would take out a membership to a co-working space. And I went and did it. Now, in the past, I would have thought, oh, yeah, that'd be a nice idea. And I wouldn't have done it 6 months later because we get stopped by our unconscious thoughts. We might want to do it, but our subconscious mind says, I'll do it next week. Oh, what do you want to do that for? What do you want to spend the money on that? Your subconscious mind will come up with every excuse in the book to stop you doing the thing that you say you want to do because that's the comfort zone. That's the comfort zone. You might not like carrying around an extra 10 kilos. But you're comfortable with it. You've been doing it a long time. So your mind says when it comes to doing something that would change your body shape and help you achieve that goal of losing 10 kilos, your mind will say, oh, I don't think so. Oh, you're not going to go walking in this heat. Oh, no, it's too late. Oh, you've got to do this. Your mind will come up with all sorts of excuses to stop you doing the very thing that you need to do to make a change. And the learning comes from putting the knowledge into practice, acting on it, doing something, and seeing the results. Because another one of the universal laws is, whatever you put out will come back to you in an equal measure. So if you put in a lot of effort in a particular area, you'll get a lot of gain from that. You'll get the results. You say, well, if that works, if I go for a half an hour walk every morning, I'm losing some weight. I'll keep doing it, right? But you've got to keep reinforcing it because those habits will creep back. You go really well. And this is why people find it so hard to keep up with those New Year's resolutions because they don't understand that we are habit driven people. Most of what we do is habit.
So you pretty
Right?
much need to learn what kind of habits you learned from your outside during possibly most of your younger life, then also understanding what's in your unconscious, and then somehow with different tools bringing it to the conscious to then be able to be aware of it, change it, and then get the positive feeling with it to the future, like how positive your future can be in
So
positive feelings. Is that what you're saying?
the
Sorry.
feeling is really important. If you're doing something and you're forcing it, well, that isn't going to work. So I'll give you another example. I grew up, I was born with an underactive thyroid gland. So my thyroid gland only produces half of what it needs to. And I was brought up being told I was uncoordinated, I was clumsy, I was awkward. And that stopped me trying. I never learned to ride a bike, a two-wheel bike, when I was a kid because I was clumsy and I was uncoordinated and probably fall off and hurt myself. So that pretty much persisted for a lot of my life. So if I wasn't in the habit of exercising regularly until I was, say, in my early 20s, maybe, that's, and don't try and change everything at once. Just try and change one or two things at a time. So say, okay, I'm looking at my life, I'm overweight, I'm not fit, And of course, the pandemic hasn't helped, has it? So I'm going to focus on my exercise. And I'm making a decision. I am committing to doing a half an hour walk in the morning, right? So it's a matter of substituting a helpful habit for a non-helpful habit. The non-helpful habit is lying in bed, and then when you get up, it's too hot in summer to go for a walk. The healthy habit is getting up early, going for a walk, and you feel fantastic. You get that, you know, you just feel good and it's cool, and you know, you feel energized after your walk. So that's one habit, okay, I'm starting to introduce. So you look at, okay, what am I doing? What am I doing in my everyday life that's not helpful in my goal of losing weight? And one thing is, just for example, it could be I sleep in. So I don't go for an early morning walk. So I said, okay, well, that's not helpful. What's the exact opposite of that? Okay, getting up early and going for a walk. All right, so that's one habit I want to bring in. You've got to replace an old habit with a new habit, because otherwise, if you just take the old habit out, your mind doesn't like a vacuum. You've got rid of the old habit. But if you don't put in a new one, you're just going to develop some other, you know, some other practice that isn't really very helpful. See what I mean? You might lie in bed and scroll through your phone or something like that. And then you feel, oh, that's another day I have an exercise. Oh, well, too bad, I'll start on, you know, and it's, you know, as you say, your New Year's resolution just dwindles, and by February you haven't lost an ounce or a gram, and you know, I'll do it next year. So, but you know, we our minds are so powerful, but the thing is, we haven't been taught to use them. And that's what I want to help people understand, how their mind works. What I do is I explain to people the diagram, and in simple terms, how your mind works and how you can utilize the power of your mind to achieve your goals. So I love talking about it, as you can probably tell. It's such empowering information, and I've got a couple of young men that I mentor. They're both setting up e-commerce businesses, and they're brothers. And I've spoken to one yesterday. I was working with him, and I said, the change you've made in your life from when I met you, I started working with his older brother. And it wasn't until I started working with him that I realized, you know, what his path had been up to that point. He's only 26. He just, through understanding and studying this material, studying how his mind works, the changes he has made, that honestly, they inspire me. It's just really, really inspiring what he's doing and what change he's made in his life. And so anyone can do it with the information. The information is simple, but it is not easy to implement, because you're going against what you've done for the last 40, 50, 60 years, 20, 30, however long you like. And habits are ingrained in us. When we're born, we are already programmed genetically. We're programmed not only with, you know, the genes for hair color and eye color, but we also inherit beliefs, prejudices, And ideas from previous generations, they all get passed down, and I never knew that. So it's not only your height and your hair color and things, physical features you inherit behavior patterns. And a number of years ago, it would have been about 7 years ago, I did a program called Energy Profiling. And through doing that, I discovered that the way I think about my relationship with money is very much like my maternal grandfather's. I'm changing it gradually, but I used to relate to money the same way he did, whereas my sister had a different relationship with money, which was more like our mother's relationship. It's really, really interesting that you come into the world with all these pre-programmed. It's like you buy a computer and it's already got software installed. Well, when we come into the world, we already have a program installed and we don't know it. And then on top of that, we are conditioned or programmed by our families. And then as we grow up, there are other influences, the media, school, teachers, whatever. And it's not until we're about, say, 7 or something that we even develop the ability to reason and the other intellectual faculties. So what I'd like to offer is, if anyone really, really, if you really know what you want, whether it's something to do with your health or your finances, or you want to meet your soulmate or something like that, I do have a email and people can contact me through that. And I'm happy to sit down with people. I'd prefer face to face, but I can do it over Zoom. We'll do it over Zoom. And just have a look at, what do you want and how I can help you understand how you can use your mind to achieve the results you want.
Amazing. Well, that's really great. Well, thank you so much for this. And I will put all the details in the show notes of the YouTube channel, but also I will link your email address so people can contact you on that. Yeah, awesome. I'm sure we're going to have another interview about other topics, but thank you so much for this one. And yeah, great.
All
Thank you,
right. Thanks,
Heather.
Lynn. Bye.